أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. وما كان لنفس أن تموت إلا بإذن الله كتابا مؤجلا ومن يرد ثواب الدنيا نؤته منها ومن يرد ثواب الآخرة نؤته منها وسنجزي الشاكرين. وكأين من نبي قاتل معه ربيون كثير فما وهنوا لما أصابهم في سبيل الله وما ضعفوا وما استكانوا والله يحب الصابرين. وما كان قولهم إلا أن قالوا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا وحسن ثواب الآخرة والله يحب المحسنين. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم. O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, my dear brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, Al-Ahad, Al-Fard, Al-Samad, Al-Ladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance, and we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the outset, I'd like to offer my sincere gratitude to Mercy Mission and our team for their wonderful efforts. I'd like to thank you all for your attendance and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this effort worthy for us on our scales of good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this gathering a gathering that is forgiven upon its departure. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in the hereafter in Jannah in the same way He has gathered us here today. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, from the outset, I remind myself firstly, and then you all, that the essence of your attendance today is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We might feel that we came to learn something, But the true essence behind your attendance is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your learning is a byproduct of your attendance today. Thus, make your intention sincere. For if you intend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. And be God conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. The topic that has been presented is an extremely difficult one. This topic is an extremely difficult one. Thus, لا إله إلا الله, who said, كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه, له الحكم وإليه ترجعون. There is no one worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said, everything will perish except Allah Almighty. His is the decision, and to Him shall all return. لا إله إلا الله, who said, كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. There is no one worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said everything will perish. He said, everything will perish, and the face of your Lord, full of majesty and honor, will remain forever. My dear brothers and sisters, I personally am under extreme pressure to speak about this topic here today. First and foremost, because there are other individuals better than myself who deserve to speak to you all about this topic. And secondly, because this topic deals with those incidents and events that took place when our beloved Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed this world. It deals with those events. It deals with a musibah, a disaster. A disaster because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنْ أَنْتُمْ ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَأَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes death as a disaster. He describes death as a musibah. And we're not only speaking about any death, but the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, every speech in front of the speech is an easy one. And indeed, every test in front of this test is an easy one. And by Allah, I feel that this topic is not easy for anyone in attendance today. It is reported that Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, when he thought about death, he would become so busy thinking about its intricacies that when his students would question him, he would be in total oblivion regarding their questions. And then he would snap out of that trance and apologize to them. And he would inform them that he was thinking about death. So death itself, O servants of Allah, is a musibah. So how great a musibah is the death of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially since he was a means of great guidance on this earth. Especially since he marked the end of prophethood. Especially since his departure meant the end of revelation. And this was understood by those around him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we revise the famous story of Ayman radiallahu anha, and it was said to her, she cried profusely, and it was said to her that you are crying profusely, and she said, yes I am, because the departure of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means the departure of wahi, the departure of revelation. فَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He indeed was the final link, the final prophet, the final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah, I bear witness that he conveyed the message. By Allah, I bear witness that he kept nothing a secret. By Allah, I bear witness that he stood and never sat in ensuring this ummah got the maximum from his prophethood. By Allah, I bear witness that he strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he stood the night in prayer as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to. We know in Surah Al-Muzammil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him towards spending the night in prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, O you wrapped in garments, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, stand the night except for a little. نِصْفَهُ أَوِنْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا, stand half the night or a little bit less than half. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, or stand for more than half of the night and spend your time reciting the Qur'an with a clear recitation. So I bear witness that he stood the night in prayer and that he advised the ummah and that there was nothing bad except that he warned us against it and there was nothing good except that he advised us to it. And I bear witness that he completed the deliverance of this message and he bore witness to it during the farewell hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said during that time, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that today I have completed your religion for you. And today I have completed my favor upon you. I bear witness, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, that he was a mercy to everything in creation. Wallah, he was. During his living and during his dying. When he lived, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you but as a mercy to the worlds. And in his death, he was a mercy to us all. For he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhal nas, Ya ayyuhal nas, O people, ayyuma ahad minal nas, O minal mu'mineen, usiba bi musibatin, falyata'azza bi musibatihi bi, an al musibati allati tusibuhu bi ghayri. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. He was a mercy to us in his passing away. He said, O people, if any one of you is afflicted with a calamity, then he or she should take strength from a greater calamity. And that is his departure, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is his passing away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah, he was a mercy to us in his dying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance, I say that our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given many signs by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would pass away, that he would leave his companions, that he would leave this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, as we read many a time in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed you will die, and indeed they will die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we've never given any of our creation a perpetual life, a perpetual life in this world. And if you pass away, will they remain forever? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, and this is in Surah Al-Anbiya, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, indeed, every soul shall taste death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in the ayat I recited at the opening of this talk, in Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. There was nothing about Muhammad except that he was a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ Messengers walked this earth before him. They came and they passed away. أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ If he is to pass away, or he is killed, will you turn your backs upon the message? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as a sign to his departure, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ When the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, and the opening from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, and Mecca falls in the hands of the believers, those who accept the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who declare the prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this surah was revealed, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said that the ayat of the surah was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the days of Tashriq, during the farewell Hajj, during those days in the farewell Hajj. And Umar radiallahu anhu, when the surah was revealed, he turned to young Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and he said to him, What do you think about these ayats? What do you think about these ayats? And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, I understand from it, from these ayat, I understand from them that his departure is close. This was the substance of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. They were not shallow individuals. They were people of substance. They never saw things for what they were. They saw things for what they could be. And this is who we should be. And this is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shared many signs regarding the departure of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shared many signs regarding his imminent departure. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he commanded Mu'adh radiallahu anh to go to Yemen, he walked with him. He walked with him and he said to him that, O Mu'adh, perhaps we will not meet after. He told Mu'adh, perhaps we will not meet after this year. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when he heard this statement from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cried profusely. He cried profusely. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comforted him and said, the first people for me will be the muttaqoon. The first people for me will be the muttaqoon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the muttaqeen. Ameen. Ameen. His daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, once she entered into a place where he was sat, and he got up and welcomed her, and he sat her to his right. And the narrator says, maybe it was to his left. And he whispered something into her ear. And she cried as a result of it. She never released what he whispered to her, for she protected the secret of her father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, after she passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is from the etiquettes and manners and morals with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when his name is mentioned, we send peace and salutations upon him. In fact, it is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do this, for he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man salla alayya salatan wahidatan sallallahu alayhi biha ashara. That the one who sends one salawat upon me, Allah will do the same upon him 10 times, tenfold. So let us be diligent with this etiquette, O servants of Allah. In At-Tirmidhi, Jabir radiallahu anhu, There's a report that he too was told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that perhaps we will not meet after this year. So our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was preparing his companions for this disaster, for the greatest test that would afflict this ummah. And understand by this, that you and I, before we were born, we experienced the greatest test, the greatest difficulty, the greatest trial before we were born. And that was when Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, with regards to the incident surrounding the death of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we don't have time to start with the many, many incidents before the main incidents. So let us zoom into Rabi'ul Awwal. Because Rabi'ul Awwal is a month that we are in right now. And in this month, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. And in this month, he migrated to Medina sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in this month, he passed away, as is a consensus of the ulama. Ibn Hajar, rahimahumullah, says this is as good as a consensus, that he passed away on Monday in Rabi'ul Awwal sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If we look at this month, we find that it was in this month that his sickness, which began prior, became even more serious. And when I say prior, I mean that the cause of the sickness was some meat which he sallallahu alayhi wasallam consumed when he was invited by the people of Khaybar. When Khaybar fell into the hands of the Muslims, there was a meal presented. A sheep was presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he partook of the sheep with his companions. And when he put a morsel of food in his mouth, this morsel spoke out to him and said, "This is indeed poisoned." Thus Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam shouted out to his companions and prevented them from consuming this meat. But as for him, he had consumed it. And at the end of his life, he said, "Till today, I feel the effects of what happened at Khaybar." And the scholars have derived from this that this act was the means of his sicknesses that led to his passing away, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thus, by this act, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showered upon him a great blessing. Showered upon him a great blessing. And that was the blessing of him passing away as a martyr, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He passed away as a prophet. He passed away as a messenger. He passed away as a shaheed, as a martyr, because of the act of this female from Khaybar, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And his ranks was increased. Why? Because he went through several difficulties because of the sickness. Severe fevers, severe headaches, and inshallah we'll come to that just now. So with this act, did our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam begin his journey with a terminal illness, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then on Thursday, before his death, and what will make you understand what Thursday means? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, once he sat in Masjidul Haram and he flicked some pebbles. And as he flicked them, he said, "Yawm al-Khamis." Yawm al-Khamis. He kept speaking about Thursday. And he said, indeed it was a Thursday when the sickness of death visited Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This sickness visited him after he went to bury one of his companions. He returned home and he entered upon Aisha radiallahu anha. And when she saw him, she complained of a headache. She goes, "I have a headache." Wa ra'sa, as they would say in the Arabic language. I have a headache. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard this, he said, "Bal wa ra'sa." He complained to her of his headache. He complained to her of his headache. But even then, he spoke to her gently and politely. And this is a lesson for the husbands. He spoke to her gently and lightly and said, "Oh Aisha, what do you think? How do you think it would be if you were to pass away before me and I were to bathe you
and shroud you and pray over you and bury you. How do you think it would be? And she said back to him, she loved him dearly, that you would come back to your other wives. Right? This is what she was concerned about. So he smiled and he left it at that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was Thursday, and this is when he was affected by this great headache. And in his knowledge of his imminent departure, as we find in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, in a hadith which is Hasan, he called Abu Muwayhibah radiallahu anhu, and he instructed him to prepare his mount. Thus the Sahabi radiallahu anhu prepared the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mount. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam got onto his mount and he rode away. And Abu Muwayhibah radiallahu anhu followed. And he followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Uhud. Uhud, where the battle of Uhud took place, where the martyrs of Uhud were buried. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to visit them. And when he was done, he turned to Abu Muwayhibah radiallahu anhu. And he said to him, Ya Aba Muwayhibah, O Abu Muwayhibah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me a choice between taking the keys of this world and remaining here longer, and then the companionship of the elevated in the hereafter. He has given me a choice between that and immediate companionship with the elevated companions. And when the Sahabi radiallahu anhu heard this, he turned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, take the keys. Take the keys so you can remain here as long as you can with us. And then choose the elevated companions. Choose here first and then choose the elevated companions. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, No. The companions of the elevated. The companions of the elevated. The companions of the elevated. بل الرفيق الأعلى. بل الرفيق الأعلى. بل الرفيق الأعلى. صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in Bukhari, in the hadith of Uqbah ibn Amir, رضي الله عنه, it states that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم addressed them after his arrival to Uhud. When he arrived at Uhud, he turned to them and said, ما أخاف عليكم الفقر. I don't fear for you all poverty. I don't fear for you all poverty. ولكن أخاف أن تفتح عليكم الدنيا. But I fear that the glitter and glamour and the financial standings and material well-beings and possessions of this world will be open to you all. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا. Thus you will compete in acquiring it. كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. As those before you competed in acquiring it. فَتُهْلِكُكُمْ. And it will destroy you. كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. As that competition destroyed them. And we know that our attachment and running behind this world has retrogressive results to our heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us and teaches us about the people before us and what happened when they chased after this dunya and what was the result upon their hearts and what was the end. In Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, has a time not come for those who believe, for their hearts to become softened because of this Qur'an, because of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of that revealed in truth, has the time not come for our hearts to become softened? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَكُونُوا, and don't be, كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ, like the people of the book before, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ, they became victims of time. They became a victim of the time that they spent on this earth. They began running after this dunya. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ, And the result of that was what? فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ Their hearts became hard. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ And many of them were sinful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Listen to the advice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam days before he passed away. Think about this, O servants of Allah. Think about this, O children of Adam. What balance do you have in your life? This is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before parting, he's leaving with us his most sincere advice. He's leaving with us that which indeed will be the success of this dunya and the akhirah. Ask yourself, how well have you balanced your devotion to this dunya and your devotion to the akhirah? Has your life become that monotonous life of me, myself, my wife, my children, as long as we're comfortable, everyone within my sphere of influence is comfortable, thus I will be comfortable. Have we become selfish, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam? He is our beloved Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with knowledge of his departure, going through fever, going through headaches, going through difficulty, he goes out to meet the people of Uhud and he bears witness to their martyrdom. And then he turns around and he's telling those who are alive, I don't fear for you, faqar. He doesn't fear for us, faqar. And Allah would reveal to him, he never spoke from himself. Why have we become entities that fear faqar? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. For wallahi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke in truth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This sickness, O servants of Allah, after that moment, intensified. The sickness intensified. And he became extremely weak. And then he posed a question to his wives. And this wasn't his norm. He said to them, where should I go? This wasn't his norm. We know he was just. He was just. And even though he had those extra feelings which was not in his control, for Aisha radiallahu anha, he was just. But he was so weak here, and his end was near. Thus he asked, where shall I go? And they instructed him to go to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And thus he was carried there. He was carried there by Abbas radiallahu anha. And he was carried there by Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, so weak that he couldn't walk. He needed to be carried there. And he entered there and rested there. And that would be his last moments. That would be his place of rest for the small and minute amount of time that he had in the dunya. And with the passing of every minute and every hour and every day, the sickness began to get severe. And more severe, and more severe. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, I entered upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I touched him and I said, Ya Rasulullah, you are in extreme pain. And he said, yes, I'm in extreme pain. The pain I feel is equivalent to the pain of what two of you would feel. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. The pain I feel is equivalent to the pain that two of you would feel. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being a mercy to us, never left the message there. He comforted his companion and comforted us all. And said, and told him, and taught him that Ibn Mas'ud, nothing affects a believer except that Allah Almighty uses his patience over it to remove his errors. It's not something that will go astray and become lost and will be taken for granted. Every difficulty you feel is a means of your betterment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was free from sin. He had no sin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But these difficulties for him was a means of raising his rank even more. La ilaha illallah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is authentically reported, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered such a high fever that they had to place him in a crate and they had to pour water over him 7 times to reduce this burning. This is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through, O servants of Allah. The severe heat that he felt required that they had to pour water 7 times. And because of this fever, as established in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, he now could not come out and lead the prayers. We're talking about the final moments of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is huge for the ummah that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not led them in salah. When he was present, he was the imam. So weak he was, he could not come out and lead the ummah in prayer. Thus, he instructed them to push Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu forward. And they were astonished by his choice. And they tried to ask him, are you sure? And are you sure? And are you sure? For Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's a soft man. He cries a lot. Will he manage to pray? Knowing you and your condition. And knowing that he is leading the prayer. He is leading the prayer here. Whilst you are alive. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took the podium. And he led the ummah in salah. Whilst Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the pleasure of seeing salah established behind an imam other than him before he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to be honest, this was a lesson for the ummah. In this extreme difficulty and sickness, this was a lesson for the ummah. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the ummah who they should pick as their next leader, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So throughout this difficulty, he's still a mercy to mankind. We don't have time today to discuss the adversities after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But by Allah, if you internalize his situation before passing away and the magnanimous lessons he's leaving for this ummah, even with regards to who would take on the post after him, this is absolutely amazing. And it makes us understand how truly he was rahmatul lil alameen. He was a mercy to the worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, as he was being treated and water was being poured over him, a time came when he felt he was a bit strong. He was not strong enough to walk himself, rather he felt he was a bit strong. And with this little strength, he took it upon himself to come out of the home and go to the musalla. He took it upon himself to do this. And he was carried there. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started stepping back to allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take his rightful place. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to remain where he was. He gave him a hand signal to remain where he was. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was placed on the left of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the ummah, the sahaba radiallahu anhum that were there, they led the salah behind Abu Bakr. He was the imam. He was the imam. Yes, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was next to him, but the salah was led by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is how weak he was, O servants of Allah. And this is how weak he was, O children of Adam. And this is how hot he was. And I'm sure each and every one of us feel here, and we wish that we could have taken these sicknesses and these difficulties from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we left him calm and comfortable. I'm sure we wish that. Bi abi wa ummi. I'm sure we wish that. For we should have this love for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should love him better than ourselves. And love him better than our parents. And love him better than everything in creation. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, with all this heat, and with all this sickness, and with all this weakness, he still attended the jama'ah. He did his best. And he still continued to teach the ummah. By Allah, he taught the ummah. He taught them during this dire difficulty not to make his grave a podium of worship. He warned the ummah. He taught them, even though he was suffering, he was a mercy. And he wanted to ensure our guidance after him. He warned the ummah from making his grave a podium of worship, like what happened to the anbiya, like what was done to their graves after they passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He taught them about patience through adversity. And you saw that in his message to Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. He taught them during this dire difficulty, the next leader. And he taught them fiqh as well. For when they were lining up behind Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said to them, the place of ruku' and the place of sujood is not a place for the recitation of the Qur'an. He taught them fiqh during this great difficulty. And he emphasized the importance of salah. For he said, as-salah, 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 as-salah. He taught the ummah on his deathbed about the importance of salah. He also taught the Ummah during this difficulty, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, the rights of others. The huquq al-ibad, the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it is authentically established that during his dire difficulty, he asked all those that he may have harmed to come and redeem themselves. La ilaha illallah. If I by chance harmed somebody, come take your haq here right now. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he instructed that all those that he might have borrowed from, he instructed that they be paid back. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, freed his slaves. And he advised the ummah never to forget the character and service of the Ansar, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. He told his companions never to forget the service of the Ansar, teaching us to be people of gratitude and teaching us to be people who thank, not to be people who, when somebody does good to us, we do the opposite. He's nurturing the ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his dying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he continued being a mercy to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with him in Jannah. O servants of Allah, our time is coming to an end. Thus, we must discuss the last day of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was on a Monday. The day of death arrived. On this day, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened his curtain. And he opened his curtain to see the Muslims praying salah behind Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he smiled, a smile that they never saw for so long. And the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they became so happy. They thought he's cured. He's looking at us while smiling. And they thought he was going to come to them. Abu Bakr began moving back into the first row. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them to continue. And he shut his curtains and he went back to lie down. Aisha radiallahu anha says that as he lied down, the stupor of death began afflicting and affecting him. And he began to sweat. And it became extremely difficult. And she laid him, radiallahu anha, on her lap with his head between her neck and his cheek. And she sat with him, comforting him. And as she did this, her brother, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr, came into the room with a miswak. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyes fell upon that miswak. And she was so concerned about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she saw where his eyes was looking, and she saw that he was looking at the miswak, so she asked him, "Do you want the miswak?" So he nodded his head, so she took the miswak. And as she tested the miswak, she found out that it was stiff. So she asked him, "Do you want it softened?" And he said, "Yes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So she put it in her mouth, and with her saliva, she softened it, and then she gave it to him. And she says, radiallahu anha, that there was a bucket of water next to him. And he would dip his hand into this water. And he would rub his forehead. And he would say, "Ala inna lil mawti la sakarat." Indeed, death has pangs and agonies. Indeed, death has agonies. And then he raised his finger to the skies. And he continuously said, "Ila rafiq al-a'la," to the companions of the elevated. To the companions of the elevated. And this happened until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him and his finger dropped down. That's how they knew that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how they knew that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And he took his last breath in this dunya. And he left us, O servants of Allah. And he left us, O children of Adam. The ummah was struck with a blow that they would never ever feel ever again. They would never face this adversity ever again. Our beloved departed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We never saw it. But just listening to it saddens us. Wallahi, it saddens us. Just listening to it makes us wish that if only we could be in his place, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he continued to be amongst us. O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, ending off. Yes, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the ummah. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never left us unprepared. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And yes, many a messenger before him passed away. But he left us a great inheritance. And that is the inheritance of his sunnah. And our love for him should dictate that we are attached to the sunnah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, after the passing of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would go into the markets and say, you are all chasing dirhams and dinars when the inheritance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being distributed in Masjid al-Nabawi. So the people dashed to Masjid al-Nabawi. And then they said, where is this inheritance? And he said, ثَقِلَتْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. May your mothers cry over you. The inheritance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the circles of knowledge that is being taught here. The circle of tafsir and fiqh and so on and so forth. He left us his sunnah, O servants of Allah. But where are we with regards to it? Before I end off, I ask you all to close your eyes. Close your eyes for a moment. So that we benchmark ourselves and our closest to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Close your eyes. And imagine one weekend you are sat at home. You are sat at home. When suddenly you heard a knock on the door. You were at home going about your weekend activities. Your family was there as well. And they were going about their daily activities. When suddenly you heard this knock on the door. And as you went to the door and you looked through the little peephole on the door, you saw that it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing there. You saw that it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing there. What would you do? Would you open the door very quickly? Or would you have to dash like a person who's late for a flight and their ticket is non-refundable? Dash around your house, ensuring that your walls don't have that which would make our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upset. Making sure that there's no magazines that would be left lying around that would make Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upset. Would you dash around ensuring that there's no channels running on your televisions that would upset Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ensuring that your children's haircuts and your wardrobes and their speech are in check so that they don't utter something displeasing in the presence of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Would you need to dash around ensuring that you start finding out the times of prayer in the masajid in case he asks you what time is the next salah? Would it be that we need to dash around ensuring that there's no documentation left lying around that shows our interest-based transactions that we are involved in? Would it be that we would need to dash around telling the females of the household not to intermingle with those non-mahrams in the household? Would we need to dash around ensuring that the ringtones on our mobile phones are reset and made more appropriate, lest it should ring in the presence of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and it would upset him? Would we need to dash around ensuring that we teach our children adequate knowledge of Islam, lest Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask them a question of the basics of this deen and they didn't know how to answer him? La ilaha illallah. Would we need to start studying his sunnah? Start studying his sunnah, lest he asks us, how many of his sunnah have we made alive after that sunnah passed away? What would be our situation, O servants of Allah? Now open your eyes. Barakallahu feekum. What would be our situation? Understand, O servant of Allah, and O children of Adam, and these are my last words, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never knock your door. He will never knock your door, for he has passed away sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But understand that Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, is Al-Hayy Al-Ladhi La Yamut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ever-living and the one that will never die. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of our secrets and all that we do in the open. Whether our doors are shut or our doors are open, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware. Thus be a diligent follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be a diligent follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and understand that as death knocked his door, it will knock our door. And the only benefit we stand to have with us after we pass away is his teaching sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we followed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us death whilst he's pleased with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our lack of diligence with regards to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgive us for our lip service. We said we loved him, but we never showed that we loved him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a grave which is a garden from the gardens of Jannah, and protect us from the hellfire and the punishments of the grave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us at the hold of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah, and protect us from being turned away from the angels because of our weaknesses with regards to following his sunnah. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather our books of deeds in our right hands and gather us in Jannah with Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This talk was not to make us depressed. Rather, it's to make us ponder and deliberate and become people of action. We are an ummah of action. We don't take matters and sweep them under the carpet. These matters have to be discussed. I want you to not let this emotion that you feel become lost. Take this emotion and bring it all together in one ball and let it explode and become something real in your life, where there's real changes in your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love you all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything incorrect said is from myself and shaytan, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and everything correct is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is perfect. Hada wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.